This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Look at how diverse the world could be and beautiful. You don't have to just have the corporate masters determine all your entertainment, you know. It doesn't have to be Hollywood and television and radio, like commercial radio, that determines everything you see and hear. So he started on this ambitious project, and he made a couple PBS specials out of it, but they were largely ignored. They weren't very well made, to be perfectly honest. The footage was amazing, but the overall production value was pretty shabby, and he wasn't on his game as much for that for some reason. So the footage just got shoved aside, and there's 300 hours of this footage that's been moultering since the 80s.
Wow. And how did you dive into that? How did you make selections to be featured in this screening at a 300 hours?
I took an edit of an edit. So the people at the Alan Lomax Archive have been slowly going through all this footage and, posting a lot of it on YouTube. That's because their mission is just to make everything free to everyone. That's their thing. They don't really approach it from an art angle. Like, we want to make, films or even records. Like, I do that for them. They're more about the idea of making sure this important cultural information is available to the cultures from that spring it, So that's their main mission. So they've been sort of whittling stuff out and showing it to me piecemeal over the last couple of years. We've been working slowly on making a bunch of record sets out of lifting audio from these. But as I was seeing little pieces of this film, it was blowing my mind, and I was like, I can't believe this exists, because in 1978 to 86, barely anybody was documenting, or nobody really was documenting folk culture in America at all. It just wasn't done. It was the age of like Thriller and the big mega hit, and nobody cared about all these little subcultures going on except for like punk and hip hop, So the newer cultures, but not the vernacular cultures that have been around forever that were really in their last legs and about to go extinct. Now a lot of these cultures he filmed are extinct. As far as pulling the whole thing together, it was pretty hard, because we have, I'm doing an 80-minute presentation, and I basically just made a pastiche, like, of just some of the more entertaining moments. And, unfortunately, I didn't have time or resources to really show it as it should be shown, which is, as a full film with lots of explanations of what's happening. So the audience on Monday is going to be watching this, and sort of they're going to have a lot of questions. And, I'm sorry for that, but at least it's more a thing of just showing how beautiful this stuff is. And unfortunately, there's not going to be much of a narrative arc of telling you what's actually happening.
That sounds very reminiscent of me to one of my favorite documentary filmmakers, Les Blank. The thought that there was someone else kind of in the same period doing specific musical subcultures like that is really awesome. So people are intrigued enough to go out and catch it. So in terms of the musicians featured, back to get to your main passion, who are some of your personal favorites that are going to be featured on Monday?
We have rare footage of a one-man band, Abner J, or Rare. I don't think it's ever been shown anywhere, I'm pretty sure.
Ooh.
I'm not going to say that too loud.
That should be a draw alone. Yeah. Come out and see Abner J. He's amazing.
Yeah, he's a one-man band, and we have footage of him performing in his own little... He would travel around the country in this little homemade trailer that folded out into a stage that he would do collage work all over it. It's a pretty visually stunning thing, and... we have some footage of him from the early 90s. That's one of my favorites. I have footage of the Reverend Lewis Overstreet, and his church is now in Portland, the Powerhouse Church on Williams. But I have some footage of him back in Phoenix in church with his four sons. His band is his four sons. The youngest, I think, in the film might be 4 years old. So his sons are 4 to 10 years old playing with him. And they're playing on the streets of Phoenix, but also in this little makeshift church. And it's some of the most... This stuff was filmed by a professional Swiss film crew, and I don't know how people can't make like cinema verte like these guys did, but the film quality is stunning, and the angles, and it's like it's as well shot as you could ever hope anything was ever shot. And it's just absolutely beautiful footage. So those might be two of my favorites.
And so this event on Monday is actually both a premiere and the kickoff of a European tour that's happening this summer. And it's really cool and interesting to me that you're touring all throughout Europe with this material, you know, including UK, France, Italy, throughout Scandinavia, but not in the US at all.
Right.
What are you hoping to teach European audience about, audiences about, you know, underground music through footage of American roots music?
Well, I don't know if I'm hoping to teach anybody anything. I mean, I'm not very good at teaching anybody anything, but what I'm hoping for is just to garner more support for this project, because it's an ongoing project, and like this footage is so great, and it's such a shame because I would tour America with it, but there's no infrastructure to support something like this here, believe it or not. Like, if I was to tour America, I'd probably take a loss, but in Europe, there's just more interest, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I'm going where the interest is. I'm not going to educate. I'm going because they're already educated, and Americans, unfortunately, are not as educated as Europeans about their own culture and not as knowledgeable about it. And that's why I'm going to Europe. And also, just to be perfectly honest, I've never been to Europe, and this is an excuse to go there. So there's that, too.
There you go. Before we go, could you just remind us of the basic when and where's of the screening, and maybe a website people can go to find more information about Mississippi Records or the screening or
sure.
Anything?
Yeah. It's at the Hollywood Theater on Monday, Memorial Day, at 7:30. So if you're not too drunk after you're partying, or even if you are too drunk, just stumble on over. 7:30 at the Hollywood Theater. I think it's in the main theater. And as far as websites, we don't have a website. We're not on the web at all. We're webless. So I think there's a preview for the film, though. Oh, man, how do you find that on the web? Jeez Louise, I should know these things.
I think maybe Mississippi CSR?
Yeah. If you Google the words Mississippi CSR, and then you'll go to this weird site that's like a subscription series for our label that's it's not relevant for people in Portland. You can just come to our store and get stuff, but for other people in the world. But in that site, embedded in it somewhere, if you look enough, there's a preview for the film. So check out the preview, and if you like it, please come to the show on Monday.
And I hope you all do. Well, there you have it. Yeah, music and film fans alike, get yourself out to the Hollywood Theater for this insanely awesome sounding premiere. I've been talking today with Eric Isaacson, one of the founders of Mississippi Records, who will be introducing the films on Monday. Thank you so much again for joining us, Eric.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And you're listening to The Film Show on KABU. I'm SW Konser, here with Jen. And in a few minutes, we're going to be joined by Hannah Piper Burns. She's the co-curator of the Experimental Film Festival Portland, which is going on this week as we speak through Sunday the 26th. And before we do that, though, Jen has a film calendar to tell you about the events that are coming up in town.
Thank you, Conch. Tonight, May 23rd, is the last night of the International Youth Silent Film Festival, a juried competition for silent shorts by filmmakers 20 and under with live musical accompaniment. The screening starts at 7 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater. Visit makesilentfilm.com to learn more. And for a podcast of our interview with the festival's founder on last month's The Film Show, go to kboo.fm/thefilmshow. Also tonight, Cinema 21 will host the Portland premiere of the film City Baby at 7:30 p.m. City Baby is a Portland-based 20-somethings coming-of-age feature made by local filmmakers. Go to citybabymovie.com to learn more. On May 30th, the Hollywood Theater hosts the Portland Music Video Festival, a competitive showcase of music videos made both in the Pacific Northwest and abroad. Learn more at portlandmusicvideofestival.com. The end of Cinema Project's spring season approaches. On June 1st, they'll present the West Coast premiere of the music documentary Wavemakers by Canadian filmmaker Caroline Martel at Sandbox Studio in Northeast Portland at 4:30 p.m. More info at cinemaproject.org. On June 10th, the Hollywood Theater will be home to BCCTV on the big screen at 7 p.m. The screening features an anthology of short works created by six clients at the Bud Clark Commons Homeless Service Center. Free admission? Go to bcctvportland.org for more info. Also on June 10th, the Clinton Street Theater continues its Women's Edge film series with After the Rape, the Mukhtar Mai story. It's a documentary following a Pakistani woman's path from abuse to fighting for justice and women's rights. Show starts at 7 p.m. More info at cstpdx.com. And on the 13th, the Clinton continues its KABU at the Clinton series with a screening of the documentary If a Tree Falls, a story of the Earth Liberation Front at 7 p.m. Visit cstpdx.com or our website, kboo.fm, to learn more. At the Northwest Film Center, from June 16 through the 30th, the Portland Jewish Film Festival returns for its 21st year, presenting nearly two dozen films celebrating the diversity of Jewish history, culture, and identity, made in Israel, the Palestinian territories, Europe, and the U.S. For a full schedule, go to nwfilm.org/festivals/Jewish Festival. The Portland, Oregon Women's Film Festival has now begun to accept entries for next year's festival, taking place in March 2014. The early bird deadline is postmark date June 21st for a discounted $20 fee. Regular deadline goes up to $30 by a postmark date of August 16th. To learn more, visit powfest.com. That just about wraps it up. Back to you, Conch.
Thank you, Jen, and welcome back, everybody, to the film show on KABU. I'm SW Conser, and I'm joined now by Hannah Piper Burns, co-curator of the Experimental Film Festival Portland, which is going on this week through Sunday, May 26th. Welcome back to the show, Hannah.
Thank you so much for having me back, Conch.
And we're also joined by visiting filmmaker Kenny Reed, who's in town from Chicago. Kenny will be screening some works, some of his own works, and leading some workshops on do-it-yourself animation. Kenny, welcome to Portland.
Hey, Conch. Thanks for having me.
So, Hannah, I wanted to ask you, the Experimental Film Festival, this just started up last year. It has it kind of has a storied history. It kind of came out of the ashes of a former film festival.
Yeah, that's correct. We sort of picked up where PDX Fest left off. PDX Fest was a much beloved film festival and destination for experimental media in Portland from 2000 to 2009, I believe. And in 2009, it kind of shuttered its doors for a while. And I had been active in a micro cinema called Grand Detour starting in 2010, and that's sort of where F Portland grew out of, and the need to fill that gap.
Well, what I've noticed, I mean, PDX Fest had some great seat of the pants, left field stuff going on, but EFF or F Portland, it's like experiment. People shouldn't be put off by the term experimental film, because you guys just go for it. You have wacky stuff going on. You have live events. You have installations. You have crazy parties where who knows what'll happen.
Correct. Yeah, we have a lot of experimenting going on within the festival, and we really want to celebrate the landscape of experimental media, which is vast and teeming and really diverse. There's just so much to be had, and there's so much great stuff out there, and we just cram it in as much as we can, and we really try to have a lot of fun with it too. There's some really serious, heart-wrenching work that's going to be happening this week, but overall, I think it's a celebration.
And in true community fashion, you are affiliated with a whole bunch of other festivals. I know you did a thing on Monday with some experimental filmmakers from Seattle, some animators. That was with the Northwest Animation Fest.
Yes, that's right. We partnered with Northwest Animation Fest to co-present the Seattle Experimental Animation Team at Valentine's. It was super fun. It was a great event.
They did an exquisite corpse. Tell people what an exquisite corpse is if nobody's been that deeply entrenched in the Dada and surrealist movements.
Sure. Exquisite corpse is actually a really popular form in experimental media these days, I found. It's a surrealist game that originated out of the Dada and Surrealist movement, so that would be like the early 1900s, where you it traditionally started out as a drawing where someone would draw the head and then fold up the piece of paper so the person who drew the body couldn't see what the other person had drawn, and so on and so forth. And then you create this kind of chimera mutant drawing, you know, where each piece of the body looks different because it's coming out of a different mind and without knowledge of what else is there. And so when you think about it from a media perspective, it's, you know, filmmakers creating work off of each other, so it flows much the same way, but they don't really know what they're following, or so it's a giant experiment.
And still to come in the festival later this week, the Symphonic Exquisite Corpse is coming up. You've got that, that's happening with the B Media Collective. Is that also with the Creative Music Guild of Portland, the Symphonic Exquisite Corpse?
No, we're partnering with Creative Music Guild at the Improvisation Summit of Portland on May 31st to show some work. This Symphonic Exquisite Corpse was put together by B Media, who kind of approached us, proposed doing this experiment through the fest, and it's a 100-year anniversary of the Rite of Spring.
Right, Stravinsky's groundbreaking, tribal
riot-inducing
music. Yes.
Yeah. So we thought that would be appropriate. And B Media have been a friend of Grandy Tours and a friend of the festival for a long time. We like what they do, and they like what we do. So it made sense as a partnership. So currently, we have filmmakers taking clips provided by B Media and remixing them to the Rite of Spring, and that finished product will screen last. It'll close out the festival on Sunday evening at the Clinton Street Theater after our two curated programs.
Well, I'm interested in talking about stuff that's happening actually today, because you've got a full plate today, Thursday the 23rd, and a big part of that is our visiting filmmaker here, Kenny Reed. Yeah, Kenny, you've come all the way from Chicago to do, and this is happening in about an hour or so, and this is going to be free. You're going to be doing a digital cutout animated joke workshop from 1 to 4 p.m. at Portland Community Media. It's up there on MLK, Northeast MLK. And tell us, what's going to happen there?
Well, the idea is falling in line with the do-it-yourself, like you guys were talking about, Exquisite Corpse, Dada. It started when I... This is based on the synchro vox technique that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, if anybody remembers Clutch Cargo, the cartoon with the still framed art and the moving lips that were these creepy human lips. You do, Kenny, you do a popular web series on Funny or Die that's called Boner Patrol. And I have to tell you, this web series does not make a lick of sense. But your mustache and lips figure prominently in all the episodes.
Well, it goes well with the police sort of theme of the show, like slapping my nasty beard onto other characters.
It's fantastic.
It also stems from and this workshop sort of stems from 3 years ago when we had an idea. We not really a good idea, but we wanted to make little animated cartoons. But I got together with my friend, and we were just terrible drawers. Like Bill Keen on the Family Circus, when he'd like, "This is my child drawing." Like, it was way worse than any of that. And so I remembered that
little Billy could have beaten you 10
no,
versus
he,
Sunday.
He was actually a very good artist.
Right.
He's going to grow up to be just like his dad, I'm sure. Yeah, I couldn't draw, and so sort of with the do-it-yourself postmodern, I just started ripping pictures from downloading them from the internet, and it was like, this is good enough for me. Various police stations, and so yeah, each shot has a different background, and that's sort of how we do it. And I can't really use Boner Patrol as an example at the community center, because I can't really. It's a nut. Safe for public viewing per se. If you want to watch it,
You're going to have equipment there that'll show people how to do the synchrovox technique, for example.
Absolutely, and using the same technique and just sort of being able to the workshop's about being able to form your own narratives with this technique and sort of guiding them through it. And so it's we're using knock knock jokes as sort of a basis. Just a starting point where it's like, from there you could make your own characters, and I've downloaded a whole bunch of Google search under like costumes and that sort of thing. And so there's just like an image bank of 200 characters to choose from and over 100 backdrops. And we're just going to tell jokes and put our mouths on them, our dirty mustaches on these clean cut characters,
have
and have them say dirty things, even though the actors would probably not want that. And in the same sense, you could take, say you want Harrison Ford in your movie, you could just take an image of Harrison Ford and, you know, make him say the words you want him to say.
Conan O'Brien is famous for putting somebody else's mouth on the president's
exactly,
face.
Yeah. Political figures and whatnot.
So this is 1 to 4 today, and it's free. People can show up and learn how to do digital cutout animated joke workshops at Portland Community Media. But you also have a longer form film of yours playing, I think it's this evening. Tomorrow evening.
Friday night.
And this is a special Not Safe for Work late night screening called Sexy After Party. It's at the Funhouse Lounge, Division and Southeast 11th.
Yeah, it's right off Southeast 11th and Division. The night's called Volatile. All of our program names have a vaguely scientific bent to them. So it's called Volatile, and it includes our Not Safe for Work screening, which is some really great films that we didn't really feel could be shown in a normal program, but they encompass a wide range of awesomeness. And then we have some really great performers. We have Hot Victory, Poppet, and Boy Funk, Blow Pony Darlings, Boy Funk, playing that night as well. So yes, it's going to be sexy, crazy clown time.
But as we mentioned, tonight is no slack. If you're taking your holiday weekend early, actually all day today and tonight, there's crazy stuff. There's, speaking of animation, there's Weird Worlds, which is all female derived experimental animation.
Right, that's presented by Cinema Project, who we're really happy to partner with again this year. They're also another organization we're collaborating with. So they're presenting this amazing program of female animation, including Amy Lockhart and Sally Cruikshank.
Hey, Quasi the Quackadero.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. And then that is going to lead into our kind of longer form showcase, which we are bringing back this year, as opposed to like our normal programs of shorts. We have one longer form piece. It's 45 minutes long by the fantastic Jody Mack. It is called Dusty Stacks of Mom. It is an experimental rock opera documentary with a live score. It follows the form of Dark Side of the Moon and is about her mother's now defunct rock and roll poster business. It is fantastic. I am so excited. I'm a big, big fan of Jody's, and so it's a thrill to be able to present her. And opening for her is another kind of beloved animator from Olympia named Devin DeMonte, who will be doing a performance called Stalking the Wild Washi with a 16mm projector.
Now, there's a lot of live performance, film mashup kind of events going on, and a lot mm-hmm. of this is happening at Studio 2, which is, it's not the Studio 2 we're in right now at KBOO, it's the Studio 2 at Southeast 8th and Belmont in the Zoomtopia building.
Correct, yeah. This year we got a nice big banner that says F Portland, so you can see it from the street. And it's a beautiful studio. It's run by a dance company and this woman named Suba Ganesan, who is wonderful. We're so happy to be in that venue. It's really lovely.
And can people go online to find out more about, you know, how to get tickets, how to do, how to sign up for events or how to get
absolutely, yeah.
We'll information on the events?
We'll be at Studio 2 tonight. We'll be at Clinton Street tomorrow on Sunday, back at Studio 2 on Saturday. Our website is fportland.com. You can also buy tickets.
EFFPortland.com.
You can buy tickets online and you can get detailed information about all the screenings. Also, if you follow us, if you like us on Facebook, we've been really active with updating and photos and kind of up-to-the-minute news. So that's a really good way to stay in the loop as well.
Well, Hannah Piper Burns, it is fantastic to have you back to talk about the second year running, and hope a more successful year even than the previous year. A lot of stuff going on at EFF Portland, at F Portland this year, the Experimental Film Festival. And we were delighted to be joined by Kenny Reed.
Oh, thank you very much.
Kenny, thanks for coming. This is your second year coming mm-hmm. into Portland from Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
And again, teaching today at Portland Community Media, teaching DIY animation.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
It's free.
Yes.
Got nothing to lose. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for coming in. We really appreciate knowing about all the things that people can do if they're not going out of town this weekend, this holiday weekend. And we urge people to check out, if you've missed any part of the show and you want to find out more, check out our archive page at kboo.fm/thefilmshow.
Thanks also, as always, to the Oregon Media Production Association for their support and collaboration. And thanks to all you listeners on the radio dial and the web, of course.
Yes, and stay tuned now for an afternoon of music on your homegrown Portland radio station. I'm SW Conser. This is Jen Chavez. And we're going to go out with some more music from the Alan Lomax Archives.
It's time for the KBOO News at Noon for Thursday, May 23, 2013. I'm Kristen Yount. The International Atomic Energy Agency has released its quarterly report on Iran's nuclear facility at Arak. According to the report, the new development at the facility does not show any indication of future bomb-making. The language used in the report is being used by the U.S. Congress to fast-track laws strengthening sanctions against Iran. Also, it removes the ability of the president to override sanctions. This would take away the power of the president to waive certain sanctions so that U.S. companies could still freely do business with companies that have business relationships with Tehran, including China, Britain, Russia, and Germany. One of the bills targeting Iran has just passed the Foreign Affairs Committee of the Republican-led House of Representatives. The bill prevents U.S. businesses from trading with offshore companies that do business with Iran. It also requires that the imports of Iranian oil by U.S. trade partners be reduced to zero within 6 months. Iran's mining and financial sectors will also be off limits for these companies as well if the bill becomes a law. Also last night, the U.S. Senate voted 99-0 to fully enforce sanctions on Iran and support the use of U.S. military resources should the State of Israel feel the need to attack. Last night, the U.S. House voted to fast-track construction of the controversial Keystone XL pipeline. Proponents of the bill argued that delaying the process for environmental assessments would force Americans to struggle with higher fuel prices. Those against construction of the pipeline say that the danger of piping heavy tar sands from Canada to Texas outweighs any potential benefits. Although the House bill passed, it does not have enough votes to override a presidential veto. Furthermore, far fewer Congress people voted for the tar sands pipeline in this vote. The WikiLeaks organization and some journalists have filed a petition in U.S. District Court in Baltimore yesterday asking for more transparency in court proceedings of Bradley Manning. Manning has admitted to releasing hundreds of thousands of classified documents to WikiLeaks. He will face a military tribunal again next month. Military court records of his previous hearings have been incomplete, heavily redacted, and journalists have been excluded from parts of the trial. In downtown Portland this week, the Salvation Army has expanded shelter space for women in transition with a brand new area. The number of overnight dorm beds remains at 50 per night. The Salvation Army says that their daily waiting list for the women's shelter never dips below 100. The agency says they need $300,000 to refurbish 42 units upstairs slated for permanent housing for women. What the new space does provide is laundry facilities, resting areas, and hot showers for women during the day. Increased office space means more counseling opportunities for jobs, addiction services, and life counseling. Do not leave your coat at home. The weather today in Portland is chilly rain, highs in the 50s. That was KBOO News at Noon for today. I'm Kristen Yount. Turn in every weekday at 5 p.m. for the latest in local, national, and international news produced by volunteer reporters right here in Portland.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the Garden Spout, specializing in indoor gardening equipment, including horticultural lighting, environmental control, hydroponic and organic nutrients, and pest control. The Garden Spout is located at 4532 Southeast 63rd, just south of Foster in Portland. Information at 503-788-GROW. Shocks of Sheba has also been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Hopworks Urban Brewery, committed to creating world-class food and organic beer as sustainably as possible at our carbon-neutral eco brew pubs. Hopworks is located at Southeast 29th and Powell Boulevard, and Hopworks Bike Bar is at North Williams and Shaver. Available on draft and in bottles throughout Cascadia. Information at 503-232-HOPS or hopworksbeer.com. Welcome to Shocks of Sheba.
Nobody's saying come call me. Oh no. Nobody's saying come call me. Nobody's saying come call me. Nobody's saying come call me. When you end up in a mixer, when you buck up in a mixer, you can't say me never did I warn you. Can't say me never did I warn you. No cut down in a Babylon mixer, no chop up in a Babylon mixer. Me say the fire burn hot, you shouldn't put your finger in a dot. Me say the fire burn hot, you shouldn't put your finger in a dot. Fire they are most stealing, think a cool breeze, a oh, boy. Fire they are most stealing, think a cool breeze, a oh, yes. Nobody send.